to ask you, who do you say that I am? You would probably answer, who cares? Who do you think you are? You're not that important, right? But still, if I were to insist and you would put up with my arrogance, who do you say that I am? You might answer, well, you are Father Vincenzo. You are Italian. You love risotto. You are a fan of Inter Milan. All of this is true. If you were my doctor, you could also tell me my blood type, my cholesterol level. If you had read my resume, you would know where I've been, what I've been doing so far. That's still not me. How do you truly know somebody? You must love them first. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, in his book, The Little Prince, says that certain things can be known only by the heart. We can truly say we know a person only when we love that person. Jesus had been working on his relationship with the disciples, with the apostles. And so now he asks them this difficult question. Who do people say that I am? Mind you, he did not ask questions that seem more relevant, such as, what do you think of my teaching? How about those miracles I performed? No, he asks them about his identity. Who am I? Paul Tillich, a famous theologian, once said that Christianity is the only religion that stubbornly ontologizes about its founder. We are stubbornly concerned about the ontology, about the being, about the identity of our founder. He is truly the gospel, the message. His identity is the main content of his message. And so he asks, what do people say about me? The answer he gets are quite amazing. People say, you are John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was a great revolutionary, a great prophet. Crowds gathered to hear him and to be baptized by him. He stood up to Herod and paid with his life. He was a martyr. He was a hero. And he came back to life. Others said, you are Elijah. Elijah had been the greatest of all the prophets of the Old Testament, with great power, great anointing. He was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, and the Jews were waiting for his return. That's it, you are Elijah. What people are saying about Jesus is incredible. It's as if I were saying to our musicians, you are the new Mozart. Or if I were to say to a science student, you are the new Einstein. Or an artist, you are like Michelangelo. It's the greatest praise I could give to someone. And still, it's not enough. Jesus is more than John the Baptist, more than Elijah, more than any one of the prophets. And so he asks them again, who do you say that I am? Peter, as always, speaks for the church. Then and now. And he says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the anointed one, the consecrated one, the one sent with power from God to save us. Is this the right answer? Yes and no. It is, of course, the right answer. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. But somehow Jesus tells them, do not tell this to anyone. We keep hearing Jesus telling his disciples, don't mention what you know about me to anyone. Remember last Sunday, he cured a man who was deaf and mute. And now that he's able to speak, he tells him, don't say anything. It makes no sense. Why was Jesus so concerned about his disciples not telling anyone he was the Messiah? Because people had the wrong idea about the Messiah. They thought the Messiah would be a great warrior, just like David, who had given prosperity, independence, freedom, theocracy to the people of Israel. That's what they expected from Jesus. quite triumphant Messiah. And Jesus shocks them, and I believe us, when he says, that's not the kind of Messiah I am. Yes, I am the Messiah you were expecting for, but I came in an unexpected way. I came to suffer. He quotes, so to speak, from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, today's first reading. Isaiah had foreseen a Messiah different from anyone else in the Old Testament, a suffering servant who would be beaten, spitted upon, rejected, finally killed. Jesus says, that's who I am. Why? Why did Jesus have to go through this? Peter, I believe rightly, says, this shouldn't happen to you. You're the Messiah, the Son of God that came to save us. Why do you have to suffer? Couldn't Jesus save us somehow in a different way? Why did he have to suffer? Well, Jesus came to reveal God, to manifest who God is. God is love. And love, brothers and sisters, is always sacrifice. Always. I remember a few years ago, I was in a youth group, and I asked the participant, I said, think of a person, the person that loved you most in your life. Don't say it, just think about it. And then after a pause, I said, well, raise your hand if you thought of your girlfriend or boyfriend. Not one hand went up. That was not the person that loved them most. Of course, when I said, raise your hand if you thought of your mom, almost everyone raised their hands. And I said, why? I thought that your girlfriend loved you, right? Why did you answer your mom loved you most? And everyone said, because she sacrificed for me. That's how we acknowledge, we recognize authentic love. Authentic love is not the love that lasts, you know, until it lasts, until it's pleasurable, until it pleases me. True love, as Mother Teresa said, hurts. Mother Teresa said, love until it hurts. Then you know that you truly love. Jesus came to reveal the greatest love of all, God's love. It had to hurt. It had to go through sacrifice and cross and passion. That's why Jesus says, there's no greater love than this, to lay down your life for those you love. And we know that. We know that. We recognize it in our bones when we are truly loved. We are truly loved when someone really is willing to sacrifice for us. That's why Jesus says, if you want to follow me, my path of sacrificial love, you must also take up your cross. In other words, you must also accept a love that hurts, a love that is willing to put the good of the other before anything else. And we must love not just by words, but indeed. You heard today's second reading, the letter of St. James. If you have faith but don't have love, you don't show it in works, you have nothing. So we must love and know that love hurts. We must embrace a crucified Christ, a Messiah who came to lay down his life for us. You know, Bishop Fulton Sheen once said, if you want a Christ without the cross, you'll end up with a cross without the Christ. If you want faith that is easy, that does not require any sacrifice of you, does not entail a cross, you will end up having many crosses with no explanation, with no hope, a cross without a Christ. Let us take home today this very simple words by Mother Teresa. Love until it hurts. Then you will know that you are loving like Christ and that your love is authentic. Amen.